On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center could be no fabulouser even if he tried, so we appreciate him trying to be super fabulous to us. And he is our producer, making sure that everything goes okay. Also, make sure the archive is up after our interviews. On the news line with us now, Sandy Green is on the phone. He's part of a husband-wife team that are volunteering and helping to lead the way to make sure that there's enough personal protective equipment for local health care workers. Thank you so much for calling in, Sandy. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I do appreciate it. Please introduce our audience to this huge central Pennsylvania effort to make personal protective equipment. Give us an overview of this, please.
So about 3 weeks ago, several physicians who were concerned about the lack of personal protective equipment in the United States in general got together and decided to try to figure out a way to do something about it. It was originally being led by someone named Karen Korzik, who is the director of critical care at Geisinger. And the group of people got together and tried to figure out ways to manufacture personal protective equipment from stuff that we could find on Amazon, at Walmart, in your grocery store, to try to make sure that when hospitals started to run out of personal protective equipment, that we had equipment to protect our healthcare workers so they could save sick patients.
And you're making this. Now, I always think of like an N95 mask as being something that must be manufactured. Explain the level of the material that you're able to make and how it's made.
So there's a couple different efforts that go into this. So one is the community-based effort. So there's a lot of people in our community who I'm very grateful for. And even though I know it's true, I'm always surprised how people step up and try to fill the gaps when bad things are going on, who are sewing plain cloth masks. Those masks will only be used, at least in the healthcare system, in an emergency, and in a lot of places we're sending those plain cloth masks out to food banks and other people who have staff that's facing the community and is at risk of catching coronavirus. The second layer of this is the actual HEPA masks themselves. We have two different approaches to this. So one approach is Karen Korzik, who I mentioned earlier, came up with the design of a sewn HEPA mask that actually passed what's called fit testing. So to make sure a mask works as an N95, it has to pass a series of tests. One of them is called fit testing. And she found a way to sew this out of elastic bias tape and fabric HEPA bags. And it works pretty well, actually. The problem with it is that it's very, very difficult to sew. So even our master seamstresses and tailors have difficulty sewing it, so it's hard to mass produce. And nationally, the HEPA bags that we need have sold out once people caught on that this is something that you could do. The second effort is in collaboration with Bucknell. Bucknell has been amazing in thinking about ways to solve this problem. And they're working on a 3D printed N95 mask that could be mass produced. And the local intermediate unit, which is one of the educational units that sits directly over the public school system, is trying to help us to do that by, one, providing printers, and two, by making essentially educational projects for the kids while they're off to help figure out how to do this. So there's two arms that are sort of going on in order to try to cover the gap in N95s. But that's not the only personal protective equipment that we're having problems with. There's basic gowns that are needed and face shields. And if you talk to some of my friends who are working in New York, they have none of those things. So even though here locally in PA right now we're okay on that equipment, places like New Orleans and New York have none, and there are people who are actually on the COVID units who have no protective equipment at all. So likely we'll be shipping at least some of the initial to them to try to protect those healthcare workers.
And this is really because so many healthcare workers are getting the COVID-19. Tell us about that aspect of this, that they're exposed to this all the time, and they are getting it. They're not immune.
Yeah, so it looks like most viruses, interestingly enough, when you're exposed to them, you either get them or you don't. And each time you're exposed, there's a chance that you get them. If you get the virus, like the flu, and then you're exposed to the flu again, the flu isn't worse. The coronavirus, COVID, appears to be different. As far as we can tell, it appears the amount of exposure that you have to the virus oftentimes worsens the severity of it. So who's exposed most currently in the world? It's our healthcare workers. And so what we're finding is that repeat exposure to this virus likely makes the disease more severe. And so healthcare workers are not only getting it more frequently, but they're getting it worse.
And this, most of the equipment that you're making is, you're striving to make it up to this healthcare quality that's needed, this HEPA standard that you had talked about.
We are striving to do that, but I have to be very clear. It'll only be deployed to people if there is no other option, meaning we don't think that this is the same as N95s in any way, shape, or form. It's, you know, sewed together, non-industrial standards, approved by the bodies that approve safety equipment like this. We just think it's better than nothing. And that's what we're trying to do, to make sure that, you know, if healthcare workers are faced with a situation like they are in New York and New Orleans with nothing, that we can give them something that might work and won't harm them.
Give me a sense of the coming together of seamstresses and suppliers and cloth makers and truckers. Paint that picture of how this has fallen together.
Well, I'm I'm always amazed. I'm in all honesty, I am the smallest part of this. So I have to say, first of all, a huge number of other healthcare workers have stepped up. This is completely volunteer. This is not being required by anyone. So anyone that I know with free time has either donated money to help with the cause or donated their time. You know, even within the medical community, I have a fleet of people who are running masks to places in need, running to pick up equipment, running to pick up fabric, running to pick up bias tape, and the community itself. The community itself is amazing. And I should have never underestimated small communities, but the group from the Danville area and the surrounding area, Bloomsburg, Berwick, Sealands Grove, Sunbury, Norrie, Elysburg, it's extraordinary. So we have over 150 people who are actually sewing. The sewing group that we have has almost 300 people in it. There's a second group in Bloomsburg run by a young lady named Beth, who has like 150 or 200 people sewing in just in the Bloomsburg, Berwick area. People have stepped up to make healthcare packages for sick healthcare workers and quarantined people. And then there's the local businesses, which is one of the most extraordinary things. So until Biters closed down in Danville, they were acting as a hub for all the distributions in Danville itself, and were donating material and time. And to be quite frank, putting themselves at risk in order to help with this effort. And then All Sports in Norrie has stepped up to try to manufacture these on a bigger scale and bring some of their workers back to do healthcare-related stuff, all for free. And, you know, there are many other businesses which I'm not naming and people right. that I'm not naming that have contributed to this. But it's amazing how people who just have stepped up, volunteered, given thousands of dollars worth of fabric. It's really, really amazing.
Well, and you are devoting some free time to this while you may have it. You are an interventional cardiologist, so you still are working and have some time to fill in there. Your wife, Jamie's yep. a nephrologist. She may not be as busy as maybe she once was, but is still helping out. And you mentioned, what is it, Karen is a critical care unit physician or nurse?
Physician, yeah.
Physician, okay. So we got three docs going here on. We're trying to get this, make sure these needs are unmet. Please tell me about your fun road trip to Jersey Shore yesterday. I want to leave our audience with a sense that you're making the most out of this with the whole family.
So there, I drove out to Jersey Shore yesterday because there was a person who was willing to donate a large amount of fabric to the cause. And because my wife, is working from home and does a lot of administrative and research stuff. She had the children for most of the day. And of course, I think we often fail to realize how hard it is to work and take care of your children all simultaneously, because most of us are either at work or taking care of our kids. So I threw my kids in the back of the car to drive up to Jersey Shore to go look at the material and see if it would work for making masks. And it was an entertaining road trip, let's just put it that way. We ate pizza out of the back of the back of the truck to maintain social distancing. The businesses were very nice. We didn't have to go into order. They walked it out. And it was nice to be able to support, you know, some local eateries, which are clearly struggling. And then kids enjoyed getting out a little bit out of quarantine. Didn't get near anyone, so you don't have to worry about that. And we were masked when we did. So it was a fun little trip.
And you ended up with how much fabric did you get there?
Yeah, we're still working on finalizing that. There are some small issues with that hopefully we'll be able to resolve. But they have approximately a semi-truck load worth of fabric, so I'm optimistic we can find a way to get it down here.
So you're looking for a tractor trailer. Is that one of the logistic issues you're working out?
It's one of several logistic issues.
Okay.
But they were very, very generous to offer it in the first place. And I'm hoping we can get it down and work with it.
All right, Dr. Sandy Green of the Danville area. Please give us contact information in case we wish to contribute this or find out more about it.
So I can give you the web address if you think that's useful.
Yep.
It's kind of complicated, but I will give it to you. You can actually search for the public groups online on Facebook. So both the volunteer sewing group is readily available. PPE for Pennsylvania, you'll find it, and the volunteer group for getting care packages to people is also available online. I am just looking for the web address for you. A little unprepared.
Well, that's okay. PPE for Pennsylvania is the website, and you're on Facebook. The Facebook has a specific name, something about Central Pennsylvania is in that. Refresh my memory on that.
Volunteers for Central PA Healthcare Workers, PPE, is the Facebook group. And you can actually search me personally. A lot of the public posts have links to all these things. Before we got organized, I was actually pushing everything out on my personal Facebook, for better or for worse. And I have a whole lot of new Facebook friends out of this.
Absolutely.
So we're happy to take anyone who is in the area, the greater area, that's willing to volunteer and help. And the one thing I would say about donating, this is actually a very difficult time for a lot of people, and I know a lot of people really want to help. I'm going to encourage people who are struggling not to donate. If they really want to help, donate their time. I don't want to make anything more difficult for people at this time. And I know there are a lot of people who are very sweet who are struggling who are donating like $10. Don't do that. Save it for yourself. Donate a little time if you have the time. And you know, I have a lot of friends who I can leverage for more donations. So conserve your money, take care of yourself.
That's the way to go. All right. Well, thank you so much. Do keep in touch. We have one response to one of your unmet needs, so I'll be sending you a telephone number shortly. But thank you for all you're doing. When you get two people who think big like you and Jamie, it's no surprise that something big comes from it. So thank you again for helping out all of our local healthcare workers and being healthcare workers at this time.
Well, we appreciate it. Everyone stay safe.
Thank you so much. Dr. Sandy Green on the line. He's an interventional cardiologist at Geisinger. His wife's a nephrologist there, and her name Jamie, and they are working to make sure that they get the highest certification of PPE for local healthcare workers that would be used if needed. They're not making masks for lay people to wear at this time, but maybe once all the hospital needs are met, that would be on their plate as well.